At 8:68, 10 past 8. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next. And we welcome you to the Wednesday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. It is a happy day on the morning show whenever we get to talk about one of the happiest events in Kenosha over the summer months, the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival. And it is coming up this Saturday, We'll be talking about the event today in a couple of different parts. Right off the bat, we're going to get some introductory remarks from artists or amazing parents, and it is really kind of the opening act, if you will, of this big event. And so with us is Terry Jacobson, who is co-chair in the hour. Tim Mahone will be here, along with some of the past scholarship recipients of the Mahone Fund. So we wanted to create the Mahone Fund in their honor.
Our parents are special in this world. You know, we always talk about Kenosha, but you have to understand my parents were worldwide people. And everyone's lives that they touched mattered, and they made them know that. We live on a corner where it was the house that Jack built, if you will. All the neighborhood kids would come there, their parents would come there. So it was about a self-respect story for everyone. No one should be hungry. Everyone should have an education.
Arthur F., your mother, Mary Lou, what they did for a living. Of course, their legacy stretches well beyond that. But
my father was known as a barber beautician, but he's a welder, and he taught here at Gateway. Okay. Daddy, kids would come to the house and get their hair cut. Ladies would come and get their hair cut and dyed and fried, however way you want to put it. He was, I would say, the social worker of Kenosha County.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. She went from different agencies where anyone and everyone that needed a home, that needed food, that needed social services on whatever the angle it would be, she could guide them in the right direction. She wouldn't take your stuff, though. You know, you sit there and try to give her a line of bull. Mom would look at him and say, yeah, right, sure.
That's where you get it from, right, Artis?
And they were both very religious in their own rights. My dad wasn't, you know, praise God, hallelujah. But Mommy would sit in her pew every Sunday. She'd cook and be singing her hymns. She'd read her Bible scriptures in the morning. Our parents made it mandatory that there were 5 newspapers that we had to read.
Wow.
Yeah.
They were amazing parents and amazing citizens in the community beyond that.
Yes.
And with love overflowing. So the creation.
Seriously. When Mother died, as with any parental death in a family, it's a it's a challenge. But when Mommy died, citizens got together and said, we have to do something in memory of Mary Lou. So Tim, we all know how Tim works, he went and sat with these citizens and they put together a group that said, let's have a scholarship, but let's have it be long-lasting. And that it's about helping our kids. We're not talking about giving, Because if you give, sometimes children do not realize the importance of what they're getting. Okay? We try to teach our children that get these scholarships, it's about you going to college. It's about you maintaining what you're supposed to do. Do better if you can. Self-respect, but come back home and give. So that's part of what the scholarship's about. They have to do service hours while they're in college. And people don't understand that. No, you have to do something. You have to help someone else, just like someone helped you.
Right. Love it. Absolutely love it. Is this wonderful, huge event, the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival. And we'll talk later on about the music. But right now, let's talk about the cooking. And I want to turn to Terry in just a moment. But artists first. Let's hear from the family's perspective why it makes sense in this Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival to have this cooking studio.
Mom and Dad were jazz aficionados. Jazz musicians used to come to our home when the right spot was created here in Kenosha. Some of the musicians were personal friends of my dad, my mom, my grandfather, and they would all hang out. You know, they'd come by, eat, play, bid whist, you know, have their shots of gin or what have you. And the cooking studio, I don't think, if you don't know Mary Lou, you don't know the Mahone family. My mother was a fabulous cook. Fabulous cook. And when that came up, what could you do? I mean, we like food. I cook constantly. You know, I'm surrounded by chefs and cooks. And that's why we're here today. Terry Jacobson is one of the best cooks I know. This woman can cook for days. And it's good. You know, it's one thing to be able to cook, but to make it good is a whole different story.
Sure.
And so it seemed the right thing to do to connect cooking with the jazz. Because if you think about it, when you go to jazz, you have food, you have great food somewhere. You have something good to drink, but it's always based on the food and the music. And so here we are, Harbor Park Jazz Cooking Studio.
And of course, now we couldn't imagine this event without the cooking studio. I mean, it's like, it's unthinkable.
Well, we started out with a pig.
Yes, I will never forget that first pig. Oh my gosh, Dan Bonanno.
Oh, Bonanno, yes, brought this huge uncooked pig. And he was walking across the field, everybody's like, what in the world? And that was the best pig.
I'm sure it was.
He taught us how to butcher it, too.
Sure,
like, it was a whole lesson.
Wow.
So we've gone the gamut.
Right. Well, let's talk now with Terry Jacobson, who's co-chair of the cooking studio. So Terry, for somebody who hasn't yet had the pleasure of actually attending this event, and in particular this portion of it, the cooking studio, explain what happens, kind of what it's all about.
So we like to bring everybody together with food first, because food is how we show people we love them, right, artists?
Yeah, right.
And so we kick everything off with this cooking studio, and we gather the audience, and then we introduce our teams. And so this is a competition. We've done it many different formats over the years, but recently we've been doing a competition with a couple of different teams. And we bring them onto the stage, and the team captains kind of go at it and do demos for the audience of what they're going to make, and then also talk about what they do. And in this case, we have, what is it Tim keeps calling it? Kenosha's finest versus Kenosha's bravest?
Right,
I think that's what he keeps
right.
saying. So we have the police and the fire going head-to-head, and it's really appropriate in this case to have those two people, because the fun is all about helping our community and making our community better in the future. And I really think that having police and fire who help us do that every day is really important to us.
And so, it brings back the community.
Absolutely.
Okay, it ties it together, because without, we could not be where we were at without either one of those entities.
Absolutely.
I'm sorry, Terry, go ahead.
No
sure.
problem.
So Terry, explain what your responsibilities are as chair. I mean, what are kind of the logistics behind the scenes that are necessary to make this happen?
I herd the cats, essentially, right? Like, so I'm the logistics person. Often artists and I come together to come up with the idea for this year's show. Jeff has been helping for a number of years now, so now Jeff is generally part of our brainstorming session as well. And then we come up with an idea. I we also built the trophy. We made a new trophy this year. Mm. It's very exciting. How the logistics are going to flow, make a timeline, do the script, supplies list, try to find people to donate as much as we can so that we don't have to spend as much money to produce this thing.
Yeah. It is a live show.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. It's a live show.
Yeah.
Like something you'd see on the Food Network.
It
absolutely.
Really is. It yeah. really is.
Absolutely.
While we have the team captains on the stage in the background, we've got all the guys frantically actually making samples because the audience for this thing is the judge. That we don't have a panel of celebrity judges. No, it's the audience. The audience comes in and they like taste everything, watch the demos, and then they vote who they like best. And then we give out the trophy later on after the Latin act this time. But it's a live cooking show. The audience gets to ask questions. So the guys got to be on their toes a little bit so they can handle the questions. But I think we have a lot of fun with it. We try to make it fun, informative, and really something to bring everybody together and then let them enjoy the music all day.
So. Because of that, it has grown. Because it's that interaction and Terry's huge participation. She's hands-on. That segment, the cooking studio, I mean, people want to be there.
Oh, yeah. It's taken
they
off like gangbusters.
There, yeah.
So is there a particular theme to this year's event and a particular challenge which these brave men are going to be tackling?
It is. And it was after some of that brainstorming we talked to make the teams come up with what they believe a Kenosha dog should be. Something that they think represents the city of Kenosha. And that is what they'll be preparing for us is the Kenosha dog. And it can be any kind of sausage-like product. So it can be a hot dog, a bratwurst, a tofu, sausage, whatever they want it to be. The guys don't think tofu is going to be a thing, but that is. So the Kenosha dog idea is fun because everybody's heard of a Chicago dog. So we decided to have a Kenosha dog. Pulls in because this year we're going to have our sister city from Wolfenbüttel, Germany there. So Jeff has been teasing for a while that while we're calling it, you know, Kenosha's bravest versus the finest, the subtitle has been Kenosha's Best Worst, because in Germany, sausages are called Wurst.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to have our German sister city there to help us in the audience to judge this thing.
Oh, boy.
So we have some sausage aficionados.
Absolutely.
On site,
some experts for all the way from Deutschland. Very good. Wonderful. Well, let's meet the bravest and the finest who are in our studios with us today. Jeff Widener has been with us before, representing the firefighters, and Josh Kunz for the first time is with us representing Kenosha's Police Department. Jeff, let's just begin with you. First of all, you have been part of this for quite a while.
I have.
Chart your involvement.
I can't say exactly how the conversation went, but I got roped into it several years ago as a competitive cooking person. And from there, it kind of took off. You know, it was one of those things that our organization has a charitable arm, and that charitable arm is always seeking out new and interesting opportunities to support local community items. And as a result, we got involved in that, and it seemed a natural fit. And so when we got involved in the cooking studio, of course, it was something close to our heart, but yet for a cause that was close to our heart as well. So it's kind of evolved beyond that. I'm not trying to brag, but I will tell you we've won all three times in the past.
It pains you to say it.
Yeah, it pains me to say that. It's a pretty the best part of it is that there's more to it than just throwing a bunch of food out for folks to try. It's about planning. You got to get 120 sample plates out in a specified amount of time. It takes pre-planning. A lot of logistics to make that work. So there's quite a challenger. Plus, they also give us parameters, not just a dog, but it's also a side dish as well. And then on top of that, you also have to be able to demonstrate it up front in front of the audience.
So make it right.
Yeah, you got to be able to demonstrate it in front of the audience. And you got to take all kinds of crazy questions from the audience and things of that nature. Although the questions are food related.
Generally speaking,
they don't go to why is the dog at the fire station have spots and things of that nature. But
that was one this weekend.
Yeah, that'll come up this weekend, now that I say that. But in general, it's kind of a well-rounded program in the sense that it challenges us as well. We're used to dealing with diverse and unique situations at work, so this is really no different.
That falls right into it. So is there, for instance, on the firefighter side, is there a commitment?
Parameters have been laid out in front of them, as Terry said earlier. Here's a you got to come up with something that represents Kenosha. And they sit down and they talk about different things that they could or could not make, what the logistics are in order to make that. And is it something that somebody be interested in seeing a demonstration on? If it's not, move on to the next idea. And collectively, they come up with an idea that is then submitted. Recipes submitted, and here we go.
Wow. So how many firefighters will be there on Saturday? I mean, in terms of this small team that's creating all these samples.
The team will probably be somewhere in the neighborhood of 6 to 8 with some extra folks sprinkled in as necessary. So, but then beyond that, we have logistics that run things in the back, and
I'm like, we'll see. He might get called into service.
Who knows?
But he is good at keeping the train on the rails and keep the food coming out the door.
Yeah, so. Absolutely, that matters a lot. Yeah. Great. Well, it's great to have you back on the program, Jeff.
Thank you.
It's great to meet for the first time Josh Kuhns, sitting right next to you, who is a Kenosha police detective, and you're going to be part of the. Food force representing the police, evidently. Since this is your first visit to the morning show, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you're from originally, and tell us a little.
January of 2005. So going on almost 19 years. Originally from Milwaukee, north side of Milwaukee I grew up. Went to Carthage, played sports there, and I never left this town.
Wow. Judging from your dimensions, you played football at Carthage, I'm guessing.
I did.
Did you play for the great Tim Rux? Were
did.
You there during his
yes.
time? Yeah. He's a friend. I remember him so fondly. And
yep.
Amazing guy.
Great man.
When did you graduate from Carthage?
2004.
Okay. And what made you want to go into this work?
Like you mentioned, my dimensions. early on, first semester, computers were the wave of the century. And that was, you know, that was going to be the way to make money and do the best. So spent about 2 weeks in those courses, and I realized those are kind of a little past my expertise. So I went to my advisor, Wayne Thompson, and said, hey, what do I do? And he said, well, you're pretty good at talking to people, I could tell. After a couple weeks, you're very interactive, and you're as big as a door. Why don't you think of public service? Good call.
Yeah.
So switched my major to criminal justice and sociology, and that was 4 years of that. And
now you're here.
20 years later.
Fantastic.
So, yep.
So are you, like Jeff Widener, a wonderful cook in your own private life, or is this more something that's kind of sprung out of your professional life?
In my own mind, I believe I'm a very especially speaking with Jeff and his team. I think we're behind the proverbial eight ball here, and we joke about that always.
We do.
They have all day to cook, and we're out working the town while you guys are in. So that's our friendly competitive banter.
But when they stop by, we certainly always take the opportunity to feed them.
Yes, that's true.
Don't want them to be hungry.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your team and what you've been kind of talking about and planning together.
So same with Jeff. Years ago, he was approached by others of our community and within his apartment to, hey, let's do this. That also happened to me this year. We got representatives in our department that have gone head-to-head with fire. And it's well known throughout the town. We hold a lot of different competitions.
The burger eating contest,
the taco eating contest. There's
chili.
Chili.
Yeah. Yep, chili cook-off. So there's a laundry list of things.
Did I mention we've won most of those?
All right. Again,
sorry.
In case you're wondering, this is what our committee meetings are like,
too. Oh, yeah.
So wonder anything gets done.
But yeah. Herding cats, remember?
Right.
So they approach me. There's such a good group of people, and just the cause that it goes to, it's be foolish for us not to, be and hopefully be a part of this. Even if it's a pretty good time, awesome, awesome. Absolutely. So yeah. I've been spearheading and trying to find our guys. We have about six. No, we have six that are I've handpicked. So some of our more energetic and, you know, engaging officers and detectives that I think that would do good with a crowd.
Oh, yeah, that's important.
The special challenge right now is that, as you can imagine, well, I think that's the great part of these kinds of teams is that I remember one time when we had just firefighters, only two guys from the opposing team showed up. So Jeff brought in extra guys to help the opposing team because the other guys got called in for overtime. So these guys have to be super nimble that way and be able to adjust if half their team get
against Waukegan, Greenfield, Racine in the past. And, you know, it happens. And that is part of it. It's just a known thing in the industry. Okay, hey, we got three of our four guys got hit for overtime today. All right, we'll figure it out. Step it up, and we always do. And
right.
It doesn't matter what department's badge you wear on your shirt. We're all on the same team.
Well, and I thought you said it well earlier, Jeff, the fact that this line of work, and that goes for firefighters and police, it's often about improvisation, thinking on your feet, dealing with unexpected circumstances.
And Josh brought it up, too, his own motivation. You know, it's about talking to people. It's about having people skills. It's about interacting with the public and things of that nature. And those things go hand in hand. And so that ability to pivot and get through something, it's all part of it.
Great. So, Josh, the world of firefighters and firehouses, I mean, the lore about great cooks cooking in the firehouse is, I mean, that's the stuff of legend. We don't hear about that quite so much when it comes to your local police department. So is there more than meets the eye?
Yeah. So we don't have a kitchen.
We don't get to cook at work.
No, right? We don't get to cook at work. Usually ours are grabbing something out of a fast food line and, you know, getting back. That's what we want people to perceive.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's we got guys that are we're all been brainstorming. Hey, what are you good at? This is the parameters. You know, like Terry and Jeff said, this is what we, you know, within these parameters, this is what we have to make. And we just brainstormed for several weeks. And you know, all trying to envision what the perfect Kenosha dog is.
Right.
And
I will say they came up with, I am privy to what each team is actually making. It'll be a surprise the day of for everyone else. But they've come up with distinctly different Kenosha dogs. But both of them I can completely see representing the city of Kenosha. Yeah. So
fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's even better. So Terry, explain exactly when this takes place. And for people who are hearing this and thinking, I don't want to miss this, exactly where will this happen and when?
All right. So the Jazz Fest is down on Kenosha's lakefront in Celebration Place, which is due east of the Kenosha Public Museum, if you don't know where it is. And the gates open at noon. The cooking studio kicks off at 12:45. Depending on how things go, right, guys? And how many questions we get. And then from there, we just start kicking into the music, and then we give away the award after the Latin Act. So it'll be about 3:20 we'll give away the award to the winning team.
The new trophy.
Yeah, and there are still general admission tickets available.
They're
$40. And then VIP, is that sold out? VIP has sold out, unfortunately. But
hey, a nice problem to have.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's fortunately, right?
Absolutely.
I know. Tim's been going wild with all the online ticket sales and phone sales.
Fantastic.
And all this stuff,
so. Well, this event deserves to be sold out. And so we're glad that interest is mounting. And it looks like it's going to be a sundown. So very, very well. Terry Jacobson, once again, co-chair of the cooking studio. And the bravest and finest with us as well, Jeff Widener, representing the firefighters, local 414 president emeritus, and Josh Kuntz joining us for the first time, Kenosha police detective. So
awesome.
Good luck to everybody, one and all, and thank you for being part of the morning show today here
Absolutely.
On WGTD.
Thank you.
We have part two of the morning show coming up in just a moment. Thank you. And for part two of today's program, the excitement continues. Now we have Tim Mahone in the hot seat, taking over for his sister artists, and in theater from Southern Methodist University down in Dallas. And Ben, you were on the program to talk about a show that you were in during high school.
Yes, I think it was Scottsboro, actually.
All right. Well, it's great to have you back, and welcome.
Thank you.
The other Ben I am meeting today for the very first time, Benjamin Majerski, a 2023 Mahone CEO Scholar, and he is attending Northwestern University studying industrial engineering, and he is a Tremper High School graduate. So, Benjamin, it's great to make your acquaintance. Welcome.
For sure. Thank you for having me on.
So, Tim, it must do your heart good to be sitting in a studio with fine young people like the two Bens here and thinking about your folks and how this folds into their legacy. Tell us from your perspective what it means to see this legacy live on like this.
Well, first of all, I could never take over for artists. She's the boss, right? So good morning and welcome. Thank you for having us back here as an opportunity to convey the story of my parents, but also, you know, the legacies of why we're here to create the future for these gentlemen. So I know when I retire, you know, life's going to be good, because when you can turn over life's generational expectations to these gentlemen and the things that they stand for, I stand with pride. But again, not because of me, right? It's really, then we would be okay.
Sure.
Right? Because they come back and give back, really, right? And that's what it's about. So it's linking each generation and the strengths of each generation to empower us all, right?
Right.
And totally. That's what community humanity is all about.
You
so
bet.
I could not be more thrilled to have Benjamin Squared here today,
yeah,
right?
I like that.
Absolutely.
So explain to our listeners, and then we'll talk to the two Bens, but explain what has to be done for somebody like Ben Woods or Ben Majerski to receive one of these scholarships? What's the gauntlet?
Put in the work, right? Our program is called the Career Exploration Organization, and it identifies young men and women throughout high school who put in the work academically and who may need some financial resources to get to college and fulfill that dream. But also, we watch the kind of the civic part of it also. The other part that makes us who we are is what we do outside of ourselves, right? And how do we give back? So again, you have two gentlemen who, outside of doing the academic work, might need a little financial support, give back in their own community. So when we identify those high mark in those kids, we want to partner with them, but also we partner with their family. And so they put in the work academically, they do the work in the community, and guess what? They have aspirations. So we want a few of those aspirations, and the network of resources that we have allow them to be who they want to be. So the Career Exploration Organization prepares them for life's expectations and the challenges that are out in the world. So when they hit the ground running, you know, they can bounce and do what they need to do, right? Not that they won't have challenges and bump their knee, but we're hoping that the connection we have allows them to stand tall amidst the storm. So they can see the other side of it. And that's what I'm most proud of these two gentlemen. Look at them. Are you kidding me? They're ready to go, you know? And they don't need much motivation, you know? I'm inspired by what they do. And that's what keeps me young at 60 in October.
Right. There you go. All right.
Let's go. So
Ready to make a difference in the world for sure. Ben Wood, let's talk with you first. First of all, remind me where you went to high school.
I went to Bradford High School.
Oh, you were at Bradford. You're a Northsider.
Yeah.
And I know that you played some sports very well, but obviously music and theater really snuck in there at some point.
Yeah.
At what point did that start to become really important to you?
I finally made the decision probably around my sophomore year, and I was like, I'm in between this crossroads between theater and music, or should I go the sports route? And I think I was really fueled to go that music and theater route more often, because it really drived me to talk to people more, or just reaching different people. You know, we really don't have that in basketball, or not to down talk basketball, because I love it so much. I was just playing basketball last night.
Right.
But it really gives us that opportunity in theater and music to reach different people from different backgrounds. And yeah.
You feel a different kind of excitement from the excitement you felt when you were, for instance, out on the basketball court. Even if you're winning, even if you're doing well, it's just... It feeds a different part of your soul, it sounds like.
Yeah, because I believe as artists or just as storytellers in general, we are the front runners in change. We take problems that are happening in the world currently and we present it to an audience, and the audience just has a conversation. They just talk about it, and then that promotes the change in the world. So
yeah.
I love it. I love the process.
Yeah, absolutely. I can tell.
Now you see why we're going to be okay.
Yeah. Of your high school time and wanting to continue your studies, what in particular led you to look at Southern Methodist?
Actually encouraged me to do it, and I was like, Southern Methodist University. Okay, what is this? And when I did the audition, it was the first, because I did many auditions that week.
Sure.
And I went into that room, and it was the first time that I knew. I was like, okay, this is a place where not my gifts and talents can truly be cultivated and worked. Because every other room I went in, it was like, oh, yeah, you're great, and we would just love to have you. But this particular room I went in, he actually coached me through my monologue and through my pieces. And I was like, wow, I've never had this before in an audition.
Wow.
He was like, yeah, now do it this way. And I was like, okay, yeah. So
obviously they were really serious about making you even better than you already were. I mean,
exactly.
They made that really clear.
Even if I didn't choose the school, like it was so clear that we still want to work your gift and work your talent right here in this room.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what kind of difference did it make for you to earn this scholarship from the Mahone Fund? I mean, was that significant for you?
Yeah. I was talking about it yesterday. It really helps us to achieve our dreams and goals full out without that financial barrier. Because sometimes that can be a blockage for young people, you know, trying to go to that dream school out of the country. And just having that financial barrier broken, I can push through and achieve my dreams and
goals.
Yeah, I really, so educational. I've learned so much there. Because I really wanted to go to work on the foundation of acting, a whole different realm even. I would say educational is my one word for that experience.
So you grew. And what are you hoping to do? Are you hoping to be a performer and or teacher and or director or?
All of the things.
Okay.
But right now I'm really focused on theater education. And really pouring into the next generation just the tools and skills that I received there in Texas. Because I'm like, oh, this is not just for me. You know, it's for others. It's to help go right now.
Fantastic. Benjamin Woods, everyone, 2019 Mahone CEO Scholar and newly graduated from Southern Methodist University down in Dallas, Texas. Fantastic to be reconnecting with you.
Yes.
And I'm happy to be meeting for the first time Benjamin and... have you just begun at Northwestern, or is that about to start?
No, so I've got about a month to prepare here, and then in mid-September is when classes will start, so I've got some time.
Very good. So tell us about your high school years down at Tremper High School, what kept you busy and most engaged, and then what ultimately led you to choose Northwestern as the next stop.
Yeah, for sure. Well, getting into high school for the first time, you're kind of opened up to this whole new world, these opportunities, new people, new friends, new teachers. And so it's overwhelming at first, for sure. But you kind of find ins and outs and ways to connect with people, connect with teachers, advisors. And through that, I was able to get involved in student government, National Honor Society. And from that step, I could then go into the broader community and help out those people. You know, I've always loved sports. I've always loved, you know, playing games, being with friends, but high school really taught me that life isn't about me and my wants. It's about others. It's about people that, you know, you don't necessarily meet, you don't necessarily know, but you understand that they need help and that their lives being brought up brings up your life as well. And so I was very happy to have advisors that taught me that and to give me a way to achieve those dreams of helping others. And over my 4 years, I've done countless service activities, and it was never for me. It was always for others, and I really love that. So,
were there particular sectors of the community in which you felt a special concern or particular issues in which you felt maybe a special kind of urgency to try and help?
Well, not specifically, but I did have a handful of opportunities to help young kids. And I know mm-hmm. that, you know, I like to say that I'm young. I'm only 18. But helping out kids that are, you know, even younger than me, because I can sympathize with them. I can put myself in their shoes, because it was only 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago that I was where they were. And so kids that need opportunity with, and that definitely pushed me to keep helping.
Right. So Tim tells me that you're headed to Northwestern University to study industrial engineering. So tell us.
I like making things efficient, working and getting things done on time. And so industrial engineering, while it is engineering, there is, you know, those hard sciences. The industrial aspect kind of works on the management process of, you know, helping people, leading people. And it's kind of where I want to go with my journey. The cool thing about Northwestern is that they have a lot of opportunities outside of just the academics and within the academics as well. I can pick another major, maybe do a minor that will really round out my education. So instead of it seeming like, oh, it's just engineering, it's just calculus and physics, it's you know, a business minor or a communications minor where I'm working with people and for people as well.
Fantastic. So tell us the kind of difference this Mahone Scholarship has made for you in making these plans for the future.
Definitely. You come in as a freshman in high school and you don't really understand the gravity of what college is. You don't know the like Ben said, the financial barrier that you're going to come across. And so people at the Mahone Fund, you know, Tim, Miss Artis, great people that see the youth in the community and see that they have the possibility to become great people. And to have that, you know, entrusted in us, to have those people that are seeing what we can become, it really gives me something that not much else does. And so it was nice to have them in my corner supporting me the entire way. And of course the scholarship's great, but just to have connections in the community, just to have people that can help you when you need it, that you love most. And I really appreciate what they've done for me, and the scholarship will definitely help, but I'm far more happy with forming that connection.
Mm. And I should say that our other scholarship recipient, Ben Woods, is smiling and nodding your head vigorously. So yeah. What Ben is saying is resonating with you.
Yes, it is. I think it is important just to have that community aspect as well. Also, it's so cool how they're training us for how we should be citizens within our own communities. Mm. You know, it's about giving back. It's about giving back. Even within the scholarship, you're required to do, I think it's 100 hours throughout the year in order to just receive the funds every time. You know, it's training you every time. Mm. Go back to the community. Give back. Mm. You know, and really fostering that thing so we can move forward and be as one unit. Mm. And I love it. It's such a great idea. It's just like, wow. It's great.
All right. Well,
Tim Mahone. Teary out here.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, don't. You can blubber later. You have more
no
information.
Time to blubber, right?
That's right. No, I understand what you're saying, though. This is absolutely great. You've chosen well. I mean, first of all, two wonderful young guys to be recipients of the scholarships, and then wonderful spokesmen as well. So this is great.
They mentioned the community piece, and it really isn't about the money, right? Because the money is the money. Money comes and goes, but it's the relationship with them and their career. This is truly an example of the small things we're trying to do to build community.
Fantastic. And, of course, the primary fundraiser that makes, for instance, these scholarships possible is this amazing event coming up on Saturday, the Harbor Park Jazz Rhythm and Blues Festival. Which one is this numerically?
I've heard about that event.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I hope you have. How many of them have there been?
21.
Okay. Wow. So it turns 21. Ooh. It's drinking age now.
Growing up.
Yes. And a wonderful lineup of musicians. And the headliner, the Grammy Award-winning guitarist Norman Brown, is my morning show guest tomorrow. I've already recorded
him. Got him in.
Yeah,
good.
Recorded a nice long interview with him, and going to play some excerpts from his great music and a whole bunch of other musical acts that will be on hand to entertain the crowd. So there's a lot to enjoy. And if people want tickets for Saturday's event, what do they do?
Well, at this point, the VIP is sold out. We really should never say that, but we're sold out in the VIP because I'll get in trouble with my committee. But if they go to the MahoneFund.org, MahoneFund.org. They can still purchase general admission tickets. We're just so excited of the support we get from the community. I just want to say that, right? We're getting great food, great music, great fun on a great lake, and you see where the proceeds go to, right? So we're excited to promote this event on behalf of the Mahone Fund. We have a great lineup of music with Lanny Cabrera starting at 2. We have 3:30 with the Steppers Group, which is a nice, you know, beautiful way of people coming together and smooth on the dance floor. We got a dance floor out there. We got the silent auctions. And then, of course, we have Stephen Hull, who's on at 5:30. He's a brother from Racine, blues music, bad dude. He's 23 years old. And, of course, Norman Brown, the headliner. He's ready to come and tickle the strings and let the water cascade on out to Lake Michigan. So we're excited about this lineup. It brings a little bit of everybody together. And guess what? The weather's
supposed to be sunny, and it's also supposed to be very warm, so there is no better place to be than down by Kenosha's lakefront.
The music's going to create some breeze. We're going to be good.
Absolutely. Tim Mahone, it's always great to speak with you, and thank you for all the good that you do, and in particular, all your hard work on behalf of this event. And thank you for bringing with you today these two fine young men, Benjamin Woods and Benjamin Wojcierski, both recipients of the Mahone CEO Scholarship.